right, this is Halloween show number two.
Halloween show number two.
We're going to try to squeeze five in this October, aren't we?
Yeah.
Awesome. That's more work on me, but I like it. I can do it.
Oh, absolutely. I've got faith in you.
I'm Kill Pop Culture's editor, too, so I have to edit all of our BS that we talk. Really excited about this episode. We got Prism in studio talking to us about the event they have coming up at the Reich House, a public event. Hope to see some of our listeners out there. Another reason I'm excited about this show is because we're bringing back an old segment we haven't done in a while, Movies That Don't Suck.
Yeah,
we got one in the holster because it's going to be Halloween season themed. I think if we do all the ones we do this month are going to be based around Halloween stuff, scary movies. We've got some lists to read off. Some of our listeners, some of our staff have made out top 10 greatest horror movies of all time. We're going to be reading some of them. We're going to be reading those all month long. Everybody if you're listening to this and you have a list, send it in. We'll read it off. Another big announcement that we have to make right now is, you know, it's funny. I was saying the other day, I was like, man, we've got the paranormal aspect of Halloween covered this year, I think, with the stuff we're going to be doing and the interviews we're going to have.
Yeah.
It's like, but what about the fictional side of it? Like actors and actresses and, you know, maybe like authors and something from the entertainment, the movie side of it.
Yeah.
Well, lo and behold, I had reached out earlier, like, I don't know, sometime around September. I got a response back from Mr. C.J. Graham, a.k.a. Jason Voorhees, from Friday the 13th, Part 6, Jason Lives. He is going to be on the show later this month. I'm probably going to save that one for the last episode, because that's pretty big. I mean, Jason, come on. Yeah. And that's my favorite Friday the 13th movie,
yeah,
is Part 6. It was so awesome. Because I really did not like Part 5 at all, and I don't think anybody did, because it didn't have Jason in it.
Right.
And, you know, they had called Part 4 the final chapter. They were, like, killing the franchise off. Well, I think it made so much money that they decided to do a 5, but they also decided for some reason not to put Jason in it. It was a copycat killer, spoiler alert, 35 years later. But then, after Part 5 and the, you know, the backlash from the fans about not having Jason, lo and behold, we get Part 6, Jason Lives, and man, it was a home run all the way around.
Right.
We watched it again last night after we found out that the CJ is going to be on here. It holds up. Like, we were all in here, like, hollering when there'd be a kill scene, you know, like we were watching a football game or something.
Absolutely. You know, and it, the thing about it was he wasn't just the Jason, you know, I mean, he's Jason. He's going to be in the movies. Yes, he's a copycat killer, right? But they brought back Tommy from Part 2. You know, I mean, he's all grown up now, so doesn't look near as creepy with that head full of hair instead of that shaved head like he did. But, you know,
well,
that's
Tommy was
I
in
like.
4 too, right?
Yeah.
Because he killed him at the end of 4.
Yeah, he was.
And so this Part 6 is the first time you see Jason as a quote-unquote undead. Like, he was alive. He was a human being in the first 4.
Yeah.
Well, now he's dead. And he gets brought back to life. So this is the first appearance of... This sets the bar, or the tone for... This sets the standard for Jason Voorhees from then going forward.
Right, you know, from that point
that's
on...
That's still the
knew.
Same, you know, supernatural, if you will, Jason, the one that's been brought back from the dead. Right. People in the horror community use the term zombie Jason, but I don't like saying that because it sounds like a grotesque oversimplification of Jason. He's got a lot more going on than, you know, zombies don't have mommy issues. Right. Jason's got mama issues amongst a whole lot of other things.
No, he comes back to life and he still remembers. That's why he's doing this in the first place.
And then another thing that started happening in the 80s, and not just with the Jason movies, but with a lot of the horror movies, is that they wouldn't explain how the person came back, or worse, they would come back from like just this brutal definitive, you know, ending of the character in the previous movie, and then in the next one they're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Or they didn't explain it well. I thought it was pretty cool the way they brought Jason back to life.
Yeah.
Tommy was going to go dig up Jason's body and burn it. Because he said Jason belongs in hell, and he wanted to make sure Jason was, you know, super dead.
Yeah.
But he wanted to burn his body, and before he burned it, he grabs one of the big iron poles off the cemetery fence, starts stabbing Jason with it. Well, then the lightning strikes the pole, because it's a stormy night, and boom, it brings him back. That's just enough. Wouldn't be enough for a normal person.
You're right.
You can't dig up dead people that have been dead for several years and that would work on, but this is Jason Voorhees, man.
Right.
That's enough to bring him back.
And you know, another thing about the 80s movies that I liked, the old horror movies like that, is the music.
Mm-hmm.
The music was amazing in those back then.
I mean, come on, Alice Cooper. I don't want to show my complete hands just yet, but I've already started making out my notes and my questions for CJ, and that's a big part of what's in there is that's one thing that made part six the home run that it was. I'm gonna go out on a limb here and say it saved the franchise. I don't think the franchise would be what it is right now if it weren't for part six, because they tried to kill it off in four. They said it's the final chapter. Five didn't have Jason and everybody hated it. If this had been a flop, I don't know that they would have. I mean, who knows?
Right. But, you know, I mean, at the same time, it's like when they did the music video to it, they incorporated Jason into the music video, too.
Exactly. And that was a couple of the fan questions that have been sent in so far, too, that we're going to ask him about. But that whole home run scenario was the actors and actresses, and it was amazing. The story was great. Jason was great. The music was awesome, and even the poster, like the cover of the DVD, is freaking... I've always loved that poster.
Yeah, I remember I
want to get one of those for in here.
I was talking to my mom earlier today, and she brought up something when I told her, you know, that you had landed the interview, and we were going to be doing that with him soon, and she said, your dad used to have that book, like the paperback novel.
Novelization?
Yeah, of part six, and I said... Well, you can let him know that we're interviewing Jason. So, you know, it was cool that, because I do remember that after she said that, he did have that book, and it was the same cover as that poster was.
I got another announcement to make that is not so good. Due to circumstances beyond anyone's control, unfortunately, Haunted Hellfest has been canceled. Yeah. It is not going to happen on the 21st. 20th and the 21st. So as of right now, Killjay is a free agent for Halloween. I have moved us over to the discount aisle because it's such last minute.
Right.
We're on clearance. If you get a discount on the already very, very low rate. If you are a booker or a venue owner and you want some music.
You want some loud music.
If you want some loud music. Give us a holler. We'll work something out. Because I hate to not have a Halloween show. This will be the first time in years we haven't done a Halloween show. And our Halloween shows are always big. We always do good at them. So that was some bad news. The good news is, again, we got some great interviews coming up, some great shows. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to do our Movies That Don't Suck segment. And then we're going to have Prism live in the studio. I wanted to take a quick minute to tell everyone where they can find Kill Pop Culture online and what we call
The List.
You just made the list!
Thank you, Chris Jericho. We're on Facebook.com/KillPopCulturePodcast. Our Twitter is @KillPopC. You can open your Instagram app and search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on there as well. Our Podomatic website is killpopculture.podomatic.com. You can download the Podomatic app. We're on iTunes. Please subscribe. We're on Google Play. You have to go to Google Play Music and then search for Kill Pop Culture. We're on Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, player.fm, soundcloud.com/killpopculture. To find our YouTube channel, just go to YouTube and search for Kill Pop Culture.
You just made the list!
Go to advertisecast.com to find out how you, yes you, can be a part of Kill Pop Culture by way of advertisement. And last but not least, you can send us an email anytime at killpopculture69@gmail.com.
You just made the list!
We're joined live in the studio, and we haven't broke our record yet of our in-studio guests not being able to find the driveway on the first try. we've lost a couple of people out here. But we got a Tony K and Lisa from Prism. How y'all doing?
Good.
Other than almost getting lost, you're doing all right?
Yeah.
Good. All right. I'm really looking forward to this this event y'all have coming up for Halloween. I want to get into that, but first, if you don't mind, just give me a little bit of the history on Prism, like the backstory, how y'all got started and everything.
Go ahead. I'll let you handle that.
Okay. We met about 15 years ago at the Amory Museum and got to talking, and that's how we found out that we both have the same interest in the paranormal. Lisa had been investigating for a while with her mother and everything, and then I started investigating with her. And from that, Prism came a few years later, formally.
Okay. Yeah, were y'all doing like an investigation at the museum?
Several.
Mm. We went with, what team was doing that? Was that?
Deep South.
Was that Deep South?
Yeah.
We were there when they did an event, and did y'all catch anything or any good stuff there? What did y'all come across? Some spooks?
We actually have a photo. We are notorious for when we are actually leaving. I just take the camera and snap a picture behind me. I don't look. When we got out to the car, we were just kind of looking over some stuff before we left, and there was a picture of a doctor.
Oh, wow.
Standing at the end of the hall watching us leave. Wow. We've caught some screams that we did not hear audibly, but once we play the recorders back, you could hear them. That was up in the operating room upstairs.
Okay.
Lights flickering off and on. You know, we turn everything off when we get there. Footsteps, just your normal activity.
Right.
When you say you snapped a picture, did you use your with your phone or like a
digital camera?
Digital
always.
Camera. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Is that's better for that?
Much
I guess.
Better.
Oh, okay. I actually caught something at the ordnance plant with my old iPhone 5. It was dark, and I had the flash on, and I was just snapping pictures. And there was a series of pictures that I took, and one in the middle had something in it. And I'll show it to you before you leave. It's pretty freaky. It's pretty trippy. And we got some. Have y'all ever been out to the ordnance plant?
Mm-hmm.
We got some EVPs and stuff out there too. That was pretty crazy. So you said y'all been doing this about how many years?
15.
What got you interested in the paranormal initially? Like, was there an experience?
Actually, my biological mother had been doing this. I did not meet her until I was 28 years old. I'm adopted. So once I met her, we realized that we had that in common. And she taught me a lot about the paranormal. I've probably been investigating since I was 28. So well over 20 years.
Right. And what are a few of the places y'all been to? Y'all like traveled way off to go places, or is it just stuff around here primarily?
It's mostly around here. I can't really.
Amory's pretty haunted. There's a lot to do here.
Well, we've been to Waverly, in Columbus.
So what about you used to live next door to Anthony? And I don't think we've talked about your ghost on the air, have we? The lady?
No.
We've never talked about that on it. Y'all live in that area where there's a lot of just, would you call them Antebellum homes? Is Antebellum just mean old? Just old houses.
Yeah.
Antebellum means pre-Civil War.
Yeah.
But were you at that old house that was by him,
mm-hmm.
is where you got this EVP that you have on your phone? Were y'all doing an investigation or?
That was when we went. Me, you, and Lisa went over there. And we
Susan.
Yeah, Lisa and then Susan. And we went because he heard the voice over there.
Uh-huh.
And
I heard a noise.
Something. That's when the thing flew.
Something flew over my shoulder.
Yeah.
So I texted, I said, hey.
So it doesn't like you. Is this after you got something thrown at you that y'all started?
Mm-hmm. I got something thrown at me and while I was over there. So I texted her and asked her, you know, hey,
you get some booger haints up in your
house. Booger haints.
I think what they was doing, they had somebody with a digital recorder trying to get an EVP, and they was asking questions, did you throw something? And I think the EVP said, I did it, or something along those lines.
This one said, this was me.
And one, another one she had recording at the same time said, my name?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but she didn't know it until later because she was recording at the same time, but just on two different devices.
Editor's note here, she sent us the EVP that she's talking about, and I downloaded it and put it in the software here, and I'm going to play it through one time. You hear her say, turn the flashlight on if you threw something at Anthony the other day, and a few seconds later you'll hear like a popping noise, like something hit, and you'll hear a voice whisper, that was me. I'm going to play it one time through regular, and then a couple of times with it, with that whisper isolated.
Turn the flashlight on if you threw something at Anthony the other day.
Now here is that was me. I got it isolated with the volume turned up on it.
And you told her about the lady at your house that, like,
everybody's
seen it now. You and Lauren and Kara saw it, right?
Yeah.
We're waiting to come over there and investigate.
Oh, no. You don't need to.
I think he's still in denial.
Yeah, the woman in my house, she wakes up and goes to sleep depending on what's going on. So she's asleep right now. We made her waking up. People coming there poking at her.
She might come crawl back in the bed with you.
So you're afraid that she'll get a little stirred
up? No, that's my house.
Angry at
me. Yeah, that's happened too.
Well, she crawls in bed with you too?
She did with Laura. People said that my house was haunted when I bought it.
Didn't you say people used to hear music?
They used to hear music. So I had expectations of hearing certain things when I moved into the house, which I never heard. And then we had the house fire. And then when we had the house fire, they did the work, and we stayed in the hotel for 3 months. And when I came back, that's when I started, seeing stuff. And then eventually it diminished and went away.
Yeah.
And then it was fine for a while. And then my brother tore the floors up out of the living room. We tore all the floors out of the living room. We put new floors back in the living room. And then she came back. So.
Well, see, I've always heard, agree with this, like, if you remodel, it kind of stirs things up. Is that right? Yes. Does it make them mad? Or they don't like change? Is that what it is?
Exactly.
Okay. Just changes the energy.
So,
whenever you go into a place, do you just go by strictly the instruments, like the K2, is that what it's called?
Yeah.
And those kind of things, or do you also have, like, you kind of get a feeling, like, this place kind of feels haunted. Do you have that too?
Yeah, we use it all.
Use it all
that we can.
I'm a sensitive, and usually I can pick up when we pull up into a place if there's something bad there, or if it's just a paranormal activity that's not centered
around
anything.
You just kind of feel it.
Yeah.
The only time I had that experience was upstairs at Joe's house. We used to practice at an old house in West Point. And when I would go up there, especially by myself, I just felt like this heavy, like the air was thick almost. And it was like, I got to get out of here kind of feeling, for no reason at all. Then I found out later, they started telling me the stories about the little girl going up and down the stairs and peeking through the banister
peeking
rails.
Through the banisters.
Yeah, that would have tripped me out. Steven got up and left when he left. Like, this is a grown-ass man, gets home, puts his boots on and leaves when he saw that.
Yeah, I don't blame him. You won't go in my house either by yourself.
Yeah, your house kind of creeps me out sometimes. And what sucks is when I go in his house, it's one of those big heavy doors that shuts by itself. And for some reason, I feel better when the door's open. So I'll go push it open and get what I got to get and get back before the door shuts again.
I'm fine in his house. I don't like going downstairs at Huck's.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, it's kind of weird down there.
Well, they say it's haunted.
That the Oklahoma College is kind of creepy.
That's like your old house, the David. Me and him were both over there, and you're talking about to do a little walkthrough or whatever.
Yeah.
Me and Kyle stayed in the
room. Yeah,
that one room.
I could not get him to go back to for nothing, or him either one. But I walked in there, and it was just like, it was so heavy in there.
Yeah, you could feel it at the door.
So tell me about the Reich House. Am I saying that right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
How did this come about, this event y'all are doing? What are the dates? I don't have it pulled up.
The 21st through the 27th, and then we're taking a break on the 28th, and we're coming back and finishing up the 29th and 30th of October.
Okay, sweet. So how did all this come about? Have y'all known about the Reich House for a while, or?
No, he purchased the home, and after he purchased the home, he started having these feelings of something not quite right in the house and everything, and the realtor got us in touch with him, and I talked to him for about an hour, and then we did the face-to-face interview, what, like 2 or 3 days later?
Right.
And we told him about the tours that we've done before, and he said that he was very interested in it. He wanted to do it to restore the home back to its original beauty and everything, so got started from that.
Did y'all get anything on your initial? Did you do like a walkthrough? Like when you?
We did. We got a lot of K2 hits in several of the rooms. There's one room in particular downstairs. He calls it the seance room.
The seance room. Oh, Lord.
I know. It has a gold leaf ceiling. It's a beautiful home. A lot of the stuff on the inside is original. The fireplaces and what have you, the hardwood floors. The wooden staircase has three sets of steps that go up top. And the seance room is where most of the activity happens within the home.
You know why they call it the seance room? Is there rumors of...
No. you have to remember this house was built in 1902 in the Victorian era. I got it right that
Our
time.
Our history buffs over here trying to...
and they did things totally different. The original owners of the home, the Carltons, Walter and Claudia Carlton, both died in the home. He died in 1936. She died in 1944. Both of their funerals were in the home. They used the seance room.
Air quotes.
Exactly. as a dining room back then. So that was the central area for everybody to gather, come together, have meals, family time, you know, that sort of thing. The funerals themselves took place in the parlor room, which is all from the seance room. The reason he calls it a seance room is he wants to turn it into one, since that is the most activity. Exactly.
That's so metal.
It really is.
I
want
to build a seance room. How do we get demons here?
Exactly.
Hopefully they're not going to be doing that while we're there.
I can't make any promises.
Although it make for an entertaining podcast.
Exactly. that's the whole reason he calls it a seance room. He's determined to turn it into one.
So he's into that.
He's totally into that.
That is awesome. Well, yeah, that's what's crazy about doing it from a podcast standpoint is the paranormal is so hit or miss. Like, we talked about this the other day. You can go someplace that's extremely haunted and get nothing. It's like going fishing. You can go to the best fishing hole in the world and not catch a fish all day, and then sometimes you go and just boom, boom, boom. But it doesn't make for an entertaining podcast when there's not much going on, so maybe the seance room will save us.
While we were there, we were sitting on the staircase talking about everything, and we just heard a woman start singing from upstairs. We're like, okay, are y'all hearing this? And every one of us stopped, and we could clearly hear her singing. Wow. And after about 4 or 5 seconds, it quit. But you could tell it wasn't from outside. It was an older woman singing. Pretty crazy.
What do y'all plan on having set up? Like, what all are you going to be doing during this event? Like, people are going to be coming through, and you're going to be taking them through the house. And
right.
We're pretty much the same thing that we did when we did the tours for the museum. Mm-hmm. We're going to have digital cameras, recorders, just stuff that K2 meters, things that we use on an investigation. We will have those available to give to people as they go through the house so that they can kind of do their own investigating. We will go into groups. There'll be a group downstairs and a group upstairs.
And they can bring their own cameras if they wanted
right.
to.
They can bring their own stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Gotcha. That's really cool. You had said something earlier about a real estate agent, and that made me wonder. Do real estate agents have to disclose that a house is haunted or not?
No.
There's no physical proof of haunting.
Yeah,
so
that would be kind of difficult to prove or not prove, I guess. But I don't know if that would hurt or help the sale. I guess it depends on who you're selling it to.
Right.
I guess you could say there's stories about this place, but I'm really looking forward to this event. You said it's going to be going for a week, and you're taking a break on that Sunday.
Saturday.
Oh, the Saturday you're taking a break and then coming back. So
Sunday and Monday night.
Halloween falls on
Tuesday.
Gotcha.
We will not be open. It ends all on the 30th.
Okay, gotcha. There's actually a Friday the 13th in October. How awesome is that?
This Friday.
Yep. It's $10 at the door.
$10 at the door.
We'll have someone set up outside and purchase your ticket that way.
What time?
6 to midnight.
Is it just in my head or everybody's head because it's that time of year? Or is there something to, I know the paranormal can happen at any time, but is it more paranormal in October or is it just random? And is there a reason for that?
It's possible it could have something to do with
the fact that it's Halloween.
Samhain, witches.
And, yeah, that gets everybody's energy up just thinking
about
it. All
Hallows Eve, exactly.
Gotcha.
But it does happen, you know, year round. It's not just a...
And I've heard, they call it, I think, the witching hour, where there's a certain time of night where
that's
there's
exactly
more.
Right. Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yes.
3 o'clock.
3 a.m. Yeah.
So 3 a.m., that's when most paranormal, or it gets more intense right in that time?
That is, yes. It's probably the most active hour when things really start. But not long after that, it usually dies off.
Yeah.
Because you don't have long from 3 a.m. to morning, so.
Interesting. Did y'all have anything else coming up you want to plug or talk about? We figured out your Facebook before we went on the air. It's facebook.com/paraprism.
Right.
Is the Facebook page. Do you have any other things to plug? Any other social media?
No, we did have a website, but we're not following that right now.
There
so
is a website I noticed for this event.
Yes. It's http
://
Reich, R-E-I-C-H, .cf.
.cf, that's what I couldn't remember. And people can go on there and find out all about this event. Again, it's open to the public, so everybody needs to come out. It's only $10. That's a good deal.
We also have a contest that's going on. If you go into that website, thereich.cf, and drop your name.
Your email and
everything. Contact info, we're going to draw 2 free tickets to the event.
For the
right.
Tour. Okay,
let's delete that part so we can put in for it.
Yeah. We may not be legible. Well, let me plug the address so people can find it. Well, go to that website and you'll see the address too, but it's 308 South Franklin Street, Aberdeen, Mississippi. Put that in your GPSs, and everybody needs to come out. Yeah, I can tell by the pictures, this is a cool-looking place, and it does look kind of spooky. I don't know if one of these is the seance room or not.
If it has it's on the website, it'll have a gold leaf ceiling. And that's it.
All
it's right. A beautiful
That's where
room.
The magic happens.
That's where it happens.
All right, well, I appreciate y'all coming out. I had a good time talking to y'all, and we look forward to seeing y'all. We'll be out there.
Good.
Hanging with you in Aberdeen. Well, Anthony, you got anything else? You good?
I'm good.
You good? Y'all want to talk about that lady in your house?
Not really.
Out of sight, out of mind.
She's not here right now, so we'll leave her alone.
You sure? They might tell you differently if you let them go.
Well, I don't see her. That's I'm good.
So that when you go on vacation, just leave us a key. I promise we won't do any investigations. <Yeah. laughs>
Still got the scar from where I got cut with the glass after that. After that investigation with his name being said and that stuff being thrown in the house, I went home and was in the bathroom and just all of a sudden felt something really hot on my hand. I looked down and it was just blood everywhere.
Yeah, I see that scar there.
And the light bulb and the globe exploded, just exploded, and sliced my hand open. I had my shoes off. I didn't get cut anywhere else. except for my hand had to have 6 stitches right through there the next day.
Wow.
It's better than you followed her home.
When I got home from this right here, that happened.
How do you keep from stuff following you home? I know people say nobody follow us, but
pray.
We pray before and we pray after. Okay, and that kind of
usually
makes some stuff
that
quiet.
Works. We have had some incidents where it didn't.
This was a more personal, much more personal, that kind of came with me.
Okay. So. Well, something does follow you home. Do y'all do the sage and stuff like that too?
Is absolutely. Okay. We do it for homeowners, and we do it for ourselves. I actually have, when I moved into my home, I actually had a priest come and bless my home, blessed every window, every entryway in and out, and then I saged it. And I still occasionally sage if we do. We did an investigation not very long ago at a home of a young couple with a baby, and it was clear, I think, to the group that there was something demonic. Mm. And just to kind of cover all bases, when I got home, I went ahead and saged everything, just to be sure.
Just to be sure. I don't blame you. I may do that after the seance room.
Yeah. Yes.
I do have a question about the oath, just because they're more knowledgeable about it than I am. I've had experiences in my house, and you live next door, and you had experiences over. Of course, I had experiences over as well. And I don't know of anybody dying in my home or anything. Do you know of anybody passing away in your home or anything like that?
Not in my home. Now, I guess this was before y'all then. Someone told me that someone had a party at y'all's house, and in the backyard, someone passed away.
Yeah, I know somebody passed away right there on the corner by the Hunan.
Yeah.
By Barry's friend he went to high school with. He passed away. He had a heart attack right there. He's 15, had a heart attack right there on the corner. Oh. He was running around that block. I guess he hadn't got there. He passed away right in there, about the alleyway.
Okay.
Right there at the, right there on the 278 by the alley. He passed away right there.
Didn't somebody die in a car wreck right there, too?
I was going to say,
somebody
died in
a car wreck right
there. The big tree before they took it down. She had a seizure in the car driving.
Yeah, and I know people have died in that area. I just didn't know everybody had died in there. But that's what I was getting to. Because those people dying bring up energy.
Absolutely.
If there ain't no ghost in the house, but, you know, a lot of people, all this negative energy, people dying around the house, can that wake them up?
Yes.
Okay.
But do you have to die, or does somebody have to die in a place for them to haunt that place? Because you hear about...
No.
That's what I get confused about. It's like, you hear about, so-and-so used to work here, and he still walks the halls, but he didn't die there. So do you haunt where you died? Do you haunt your house? Do you haunt the
cemetery?
Because people go to cemeteries and see ghosts.
You haunt
some of them are at work still, and some of them are at home.
Right. You haunt wherever you're attached to.
Yeah.
Okay.
If you have good memories at this place and you enjoyed the people that were there or whatever when you were alive and well, that's where they feel comfortable. That's where, you know, a lot of people, that's why a lot of these homes that people, they didn't have to die in the homes, but it was their home for 30 years. And it was bought, sold, and they died, and they moved back in, so to speak, or they never actually left because they enjoyed living there.
Yeah.
And that's why you get some hauntings, and even though people have not died in the home or in the business, they still stay there.
Or if you build around the land, like my parents' house, there's an Indian burial ground not far from their house. And they built that back in 2005, but they've had activity.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's what I've always wondered when I started becoming paracurious, that's what I call myself. Germ's definitely the paranormal guy of the group. He's been in a couple of different teams, but I'm just now, for the podcast, getting into it and getting interested. But that was my first question. I was like, well, what if a house is haunted and you tear the house down? Where's the ghost go? Is it the area's haunted or the building is haunted?
You have to remember, energy cannot be created or destroyed.
Right.
It goes from place to place.
Yep.
So it's going to go somewhere else if it's...
Exactly. Cannot be created or destroyed.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't it Einstein? You know, and he's a pretty smart fellow. He always said that you were just masses of energy that just transfers around. He seemed to know what he was talking about.
Exactly.
He also said the one that said energy can't be created or destroyed.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what made me think of Einstein. Not that I identify with him or anything, unfortunately. All right, well, again, thanks for coming in. We look forward to seeing y'all out there at the Reich House.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Those new band shirts look awesome. Where did you get those done?
At Anarchy Design.
They do screen printing now?
Oh yeah, they do professional custom screen printing at a very competitive rate.
Well, where can I find them?
Look them up on Facebook, facebook.com/anarchydesign69, or email them at anarchydesign69@gmail.com. You can check out some of their work on their Facebook page. When you're ready to order, you can send them your idea, or they can design it for you. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com. It's a one-stop shop for all your screen printing needs. That's anarchydesign69@gmail.com.
Movies that don't suck, even though people say they do.
God, that's awful.
Can we just be honest right now? The main reason we wanted to do another Movies That Don't Suck segment is to hear that theme music. I missed that.
That's
the best theme music for any segment ever.
Yep.
Like, if there was... Well, there probably is a podcast award ceremony. We should win best theme music for a segment.
Yeah, absolutely.
I could imagine any podcast having a theme music for a segment better than that.
That was so funny the very first time we did that. It was...
Oh, my God. When we were making...
When we were putting that all together,
we were crying. We were laughing so hard. And then when Jamie Nunley came over and we interviewed him in the studio and he heard that, he was like, oh, my God, that's the best, worst thing I've ever heard.
Yeah. I remember that.
But anyway, our movie, keeping with the Halloween theme, is... The Blair Witch Project.
Oh, there you go.
And we've been talking about this here in the studio for a few days now, and you know, it's like I think Anthony said it first. It's like if anybody that says the Blair Witch Project isn't scary, I simply say, okay, fine, watch it and then go camping. Then tell me it's not scary. Because I used to camp out a lot when I was younger. Matter of fact, one whole summer me and a friend of mine went out to a peninsula and set up a tent, and we were fishing, and we basically set up a base camp, and we camped, like, almost the entire summer, like, almost every night. You know, this is when I was in high school, so
yeah.
I didn't have any responsibilities. So we just fished and camped for, like, an entire summer. And somebody that spent a great deal of time out in the woods, I gotta say, I mean, if you're a shut-in that never leaves your house... I could see where Blair Witch Project might not be terrifying.
Yeah.
But if you've been spending some time out in the woods, it can really mess with your head. And I think the Blair Witch Project did a lot for, I mean, it started the whole found footage thing.
Oh, yeah.
It may not have been the first one ever, but it was definitely the first one that, you know, had that kind of success.
Right. I mean, the only thing even remotely close to that that you could consider similar, it's not even similar really, but the first Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie where they have the guy at the very beginning of the movie reading off the report about this is based on actual events kind of stuff, but it was not like made up like the footage wise. Like I legitimately thought that was real footage.
Exactly, because this was at a time, it was released in 1999. We had the internet, but it wasn't like we had the internet everywhere,
right.
Like all around us. We didn't have like, now you have like a browser in your microwave where you can, you know, check your email while you're nuking your burrito.
Right.
But like back then, you know, people were like still using AOL to get on internet. So like, fact checking wasn't like what it is right now. Now we get in arguments out here all the time.
Yeah.
Last night, Kelly and Barry were arguing over which Jason movie that Kevin Bacon was in.
Oh yeah.
They
yeah.
whipped out Google and boom, ended the argument. Like we didn't have that luxury. So that was a time when if something seemed like it was that way, a lot of people thought that's the way it was.
Right.
And that movie did a good job convincing you that it might have been really found footage.
At that point, too, I remember going to, like, Movie Gallery or Blockbuster or whatever it was and renting that movie and sitting in the dark in the living room watching this movie, and anything that bumped or creaked in the house while I watched it, I was like, what the hell was that? Because it legitimately got to you under your skin like that.
You know, it had a satisfying, suspenseful ending to it.
Yeah, it did.
Like, it didn't... It kind of left you hanging, but not, like, not really. Like, I thought it was a good payoff. Here's another thing that the Blair Witch Project did. It showed people that you could make a movie that was a box office success without a $5 million budget.
Yeah.
Or more.
That's what I was just looking at right there.
The budget for this movie was $60,000. The box office gross on what it made was $248.6 million.
Jesus
Christ.
That's
got to be some kind of record profit margin.
No shit.
I mean, you didn't have big name actor and actresses. You didn't have to pay makeup. I mean, I'm sure they had some people out there with them, but you know what I mean? It's like right. It wasn't this huge budget, huge production.
And that movie there was, I mean, if you look at the running time there, it says 81 minutes. And I can remember after I watched it, like I said, it unnerved me, but at the same time, I wasn't ready for it to end. I kind of wish it had been longer. But within that 81 minutes, they did a lot of stuff.
You know, I had to just look this up, but of course the sequel sucked.
Yeah.
I didn't like it at all. No. It had nothing to do with what you couldn't do. That's a hard movie to do a sequel for.
Right, you couldn't do it justice.
You can't find we found some more footage. Let's keep this going. We missed one. No, that you couldn't do that. It almost had to be like not a found footage movie, but it wasn't good. But didn't they do another one? I mean,
they did 2016. Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't even seen that.
Saw it. I did see it. It wasn't bad, but it's a different spin. You know how they do remakes.
Yeah.
Like, they try to keep the plot similar, but they change around basically everything in the movie.
Well, there was one interesting thing missing from the Blair Witch Project. The Blair Witch.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, why don't we do, like, a prequel and explore that? Who is the Blair Witch? What is the Blair Witch?
Right.
Because we never saw her or it. We never saw the Blair Witch.
No.
So, I don't know if this remake delved into that or not any more than the first one did, but I would think that would be a way to maybe keep the franchise alive.
Right. Just go back and
potentially, if you did it right.
Yeah, go back and just do a story about the witch herself and how everything came to be.
Yeah, and there was people that were complaining about the Blair Witch Project, saying, like, well, now that this happened, you know, studios are going to be giving out less money because this, you know, this was a low-budget film but did so well, so now they're going to spend less to try to get more. And I'm like, you know, but I think that's keeping people from being lazy also, too.
Yeah, they had to work hard on that footage, I'm sure.
I mean, some of the best movies in the world are low-budget movies. I mean, most of these horror movies that we're going to be talking about this whole month are low-budget.
Yeah. I mean, most horror movies are.
Yeah, they're B movies.
Yeah.
I would dare say, I haven't looked anything up on this, but I'm sure the first several Jason movies were under $1 million each on their budget.
Right.
Probably under $500,000. I don't know. But anyway, I'm not going to spend as much time on that one as we normally do. I just wanted to see what everybody else thought, because there's a lot of people that complained about that movie, saying that it sucked and it wasn't scary. And I'm like, you're crazy. You've never been camping.
Yeah, absolutely. That movie was terrifying to me when it first came out.
And again, I thought it was creative.
Absolutely.
So that's our Movies That Don't Suck. Email us, killpopculture69@gmail.com. Tell us what you think. Tell us if the Blair Witch sucked. If you're that one person that liked part two, let us know.
If you got a Movies That Don't Suck that you think that is in the horror realm for this month, hit us up with that too.
Yep,
we'll check it out. We like to watch movies.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal is a non-profit organization, a level-headed team with a knowledgeable background who tries to explain and debunk, not taking things solely as paranormal.
They try to help their clients with an understanding about the paranormal.
Shadow Stalkers Paranormal also gives back to the community by way of sponsorships, such as this one, fundraisers for historical sites, and individuals with terminal illnesses.
They strive to make their team better and make a difference.
You can find them on Facebook, facebook.com/ShadowStalkersParanormal38821. They're ready to believe you. All right, we have lists. We're just going to do two. I haven't even finished mine yet. I've got like the list. I've got my list, but I don't have it in order. Anthony still has his list.
I think him and Laura and Kara all three were making one, weren't they?
Kelly left his list here, but I don't know which one's his and which one's Sean. So we're just going to do yours, and we're going to do one of our listeners, Lindsay Lee, sent us his list.
Cool, cool.
So let's go ahead and start with your number 10.
My number 10 is actually a old movie. But I remember the first time I saw this, it scared the hell out of me.
Hey, not to interrupt you, let me throw this out there.
All right.
I think for this list segment, since we made the announcement tonight, I think our background music should be He's Back, The Man Behind the Mask, the theme to Friday the 13th.
Absolutely,
part 6.
Absolutely.
So if our editor can go ahead and dub that in.
Yeah.
All right, continue.
Yeah, this movie literally scared me just because of the way that the guy portrayed the character, but Nosferatu.
Huh, yeah.
The long fingered Dracula, which didn't look like your basic, you know, Widow's Peak.
This
scared the crap out of me.
This wasn't your, like, suave Mr. Cool.
Yeah, it was not Bela Lugosi.
Yeah, this was a very monstrous, almost demonic
kind of
vampire. Yeah, that's a good one. Oh, Lindsay Lee, his number 10, good one. That's another old one. House on Haunted Hill.
Yeah, with Vincent Price.
Enough said.
Yeah, absolutely. I gotta agree with that one too. That's good.
Your number 9.
My number 9 actually is one we just talked about, Blair Witch Project.
There you go. His number 9, Night of the Living Dead. Can't disagree with that either.
Not at all.
Your number 8?
My number 8 would be the first Paranormal Activity movie. Now, after the first one, it just got redundant. But, you know, being a paranormal investigator all those years and everything, to actually watch that, but to me, they based it off of Blair Witch kind of stuff. You know, they had, like, the camera system.
Trying to make it real, yeah.
Yeah. That was it. But after the first one, I didn't like the other ones.
There was one that I thought was pretty clever where they used the security system footage. I think that was, like, part 3 or 4. It was okay. But part 2, I know it sucked because I can't remember anything about it, but I know I watched it.
Right.
That's how I can tell the movie sucks. Like, I couldn't tell you anything about part 2.
And I think they have, like, Paranormal Activity part 18 out by now or something.
65.
It's kind of like Saw.
That was your number?
That was my 8.
His 8 is Annabelle, only because we had a doll in our house that would move each time you walked in a room and it was facing the other direction. We got rid of it, don't worry.
Oh, yeah. I would never come to your house if you had that doll. I promise you that, because I don't like them.
That's pretty crazy.
My number 7 is the 1978 Dawn of the Dead.
Yeah, that had a good cover.
Yeah,
it had a good VHS cover.
That was just a good zombie style movie.
His number 7 is Hellraiser, the first one. Yeah, hell, the first one, pretty brutal, pretty scary.
Number six is Friday the 13th Part 2, because this is the first initial time you see Jason, mm-hmm. you know, growing up Jason, and he's got that sack over his head with one eye cut out. And he's this big, massive, burly dude, and it's just creepy.
When did Jason lose his eye? Because when it showed kid Jason,
he had
like one of his eye was drooping and all deformed, like that side of his face was like kind of deformed. But he had both eyes.
He may have just been.
I think he got stabbed through the eye in one of the early films.
He might have been.
Because I know watching part six through the whole movie, he just had one eye.
Right.
And like the Kane Hodder Jason, you know, all the way up until now, he's one-eyed Jason. Number six for Lindsay Lee is The Last House on the Left. I don't know if I've seen that one.
I saw that one time, and it's a good movie. But, I mean, to each their own on that. But it was like, I didn't go back and want to watch it like a second, third time kind of thing. It was like a one and done kind of for me.
I'm definitely going to add that to my list.
It didn't suck by any means.
I'm going to add that to my list of horror movies to watch this Halloween season.
All right.
I always like watching scary movies.
Yeah.
AMC does a good job about doing like long marathons mm-hmm. of like every 80s horror movie.
Yep. My number five would be the original Texas Chainsaw Massacre movie.
Yeah, we were talking about that earlier, how that, again, we lived in a time where you couldn't just Google, was Texas Chainsaw Massacre real? And plus I was a kid, so you believe everything when you're a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And that just sounded so real and convincing. I remember going to school and all the kids were like, yeah, that really happened. And you always got that one person in your class that tells a bunch of tall tales like, yeah, my dad was in Texas when that was going on. Like, you know what I mean? Like our little kids.
My dad
like,
used to be the sheriff of the county next over.
It's like such a lie.
Right.
Like, yeah, I know somebody that knows somebody that was there when that happened. But like, everybody thought that was based on a true story.
Right.
And it's loosely based on a character, but the stories are 100% fiction.
Right. Number five for Lindsay.
Darkness Falls. The Tooth Fairy's gonna get
me. Oh, that's a good one. That's a really good one. Tooth Fairy is really creepy in that.
All right, you're number four.
Number four, Trick or Treat.
Oh, boom. That's a good one.
Trick or Treat.
Talk about a good soundtrack.
Yeah. Sam Hain, little Sammy Hain, the pumpkin head toddler that was killing people. Oh, my God.
If the Alice Cooper song has already finished playing at this point, I'll start the Trick or Treat song.
There you go.
His number four is The Conjuring.
Really good one. I liked it, too. That's me being a paranormal investigator side of things, too. That was the original paranormal investigators, Ed and Lorraine Warren.
Mm-hmm. She's written a lot of books.
Yeah. She's done a lot of TV shows and stuff, too, with a lot of these paranormal
She was on Talk is Jericho, one of my personal favorite podcasts.
Awesome.
Your number three
is
top three.
The very first Halloween. You can't go wrong with Michael Myers.
Absolutely. And talk about low budget. I don't know.
That's what I was wondering. We might have to actually Google that later.
I would, like, sit up in my chair and Google it, but I'm kind of comfortable right now.
No, you're fine. We'll
like,
do it
lean
later.
Back with my feet propped up.
We'll do that later.
His number three was The Exorcist. He said he watched it once and will never see it again. I'm kind of with you. I mean, I'm not saying I would never watch it again, but I was young when I watched it, and it literally effed me up. Like, I remember laying in bed at night just praying that my bed wouldn't start hopping up and down like hers did.
Yeah.
And like, you know, when we
Your
finally
head
got
turns around and
when we finally got to the Telltale Heart in English class, I felt better about because I could hear my heart beating. I was so scared laying in bed at night trying to go to sleep thinking about that movie.
Yep.
Yeah, thanks for the mental disturbance on that one.
Yep. Actually, his number three is my number two, The Exorcist. The whole head spinning around, and you remember she crawled down the stairs backwards.
The spider walk.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like...
And I never will eat split pea soup again because of that.
like Freddy was scary to me as a kid, but I mean, this is a guy with, you know, there's no way that could ever really happen.
Freddy,
like,
was comical.
It just
to
seemed
me.
Like The Exorcist was more real because you know about like demons and stuff, and you've heard of like real stuff like that happening, and it's just like my mind wasn't ready for it at the ripe young age of what I think I was 10.
Right.
His number two is Psycho.
The original or the remake? I'm hoping the original because...
Surely the original.
Yeah. That was a great movie.
You know, in like the early 90s, they did like a Bates Motel TV show, and they're doing one now.
Yeah.
Like a newer one on like Netflix.
The new one on Netflix is actually really good.
I watched
good.
The first couple episodes and I thought it was really good.
Yep. My number one is Annabelle.
I can imagine that.
You're not
a doll guy.
No, and I literally, like, people can't see this, but I literally, like, covered my eyes and watched the movie every time. Like, I could watch it as long as the doll wasn't in the scene. But if the doll was in the scene, nope, I covered my eyes up because I don't like them. But that movie there was based on actual events.
All right, last but not least, Lindsay Lee has It. Stephen King's It is number one. He said, possibly maybe the scariest I have watched, original and new, especially the new one. I haven't seen the new one yet, but I've heard good things about it.
He must not like clowns like I don't like dolls.
Maybe so. Thanks for sending in your list. Y'all keep them coming. We need to hear more.
Are you looking to reach a wider audience? Are you looking to get your name out there? Are you looking to go to the next level with advertisement? Well, think no more. Advertise with us at Kill Punk Culture.
Just tell us a little bit about your business and leave the rest to us. We'll build you a state-of-the-art commercial to be played every episode.
We're only going to take on about one or two more sponsors, so be sure to grab these slots up before they're gone.
We have plans to fit any budget, and we can build a commercial for any type of business.
Email killpopculture69@gmail.com today.
And we're back.
Wow, what is it?
And I'm standing up now because you saw a spider run under my chair.
Yeah.
And after this recording, we will be burning down this building. So if y'all could just send us some money, we need to build a new studio because this one had a spider in it.
It wasn't a garden spider, but it was bigger than a granddaddy long legs. And I know it wasn't a brown recluse because we're notorious for them where we live.
They're small.
Yeah, but it was a lot bigger than it was an Arnold Schwarzenegger of brown recluses, if it was.
Me hates it. I did look up during the break. The budget for the first Halloween movie was $300,000. Box office was $70 million. But according to 2017 inflation standards, that's $265 million.
Golly. I wonder what the budget inflations would have been for Blair Witch now then.
From 1991 to now, I don't know. This was 1978.
Yeah, that's a lot of money regardless. Their time or ours.
Yeah, it's like I said with horror movies, man. It's like they have to be creative because they don't have just tons of money. And the ones that were made before CGI and before there were any shortcuts available, they were better.
Well, you know, it was surprised me that the amount was that high because they took a William Shatner mask and spray painted it white.
Yeah, and they called Michael Myers the Shape.
Yeah, the Shape. Yeah. That was it.
That was just what they called him. I always thought that was weird when I go back and read stuff.
But there's
because I always knew he was Michael Myers, but they called him the Shape.
There's not a lot of CGI or, well, I mean, which I don't know during the special effects stuff where he's stabbing people. I mean, yeah, that's a special effect, but.
But they're practical effects.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't see how it cost that much money to make that movie. I mean, we could make that in our neighborhood.
Well, I think Jamie Lee Curtis, even back then, was a pretty popular actress. I mean, you had some big salaries to pay there.
Right.
You had, what's his name? The doctor?
Donald Pleasance. Donald Pleasance. That's his name.
You had some, you had some names there that I'm sure you had to pay. I don't know.
Well, it says right there, Jamie Lee Curtis. That was her film debut. But maybe maybe it's because of the who's who of people. Because, you know, her mom and dad both are famous people.
I don't know. There's no telling. I mean, that's still a low budget. I mean, $300,000 for a movie. I mean, do you...
Now it's Google, millions.
Oh, my God. Look what they spent. Go Google what they spent on the Transformers movies.
Yeah, that's in the Googleplexes.
They had to spend $1.4 million on Optimus Prime's eyebrows and eyelashes.
Yeah.
Because a robot with fake eyes needs to blink, damn it. They need lips so they can...
Imagine what they spend on all the explosions that he puts in those movies.
They were as fake as the eyelids.
And yeah, exactly.
I talk a lot of crap about Transformers just because the best movie out of all of them is the original cartoon movie.
Yeah. You're not wrong.
But anyway, I think we had a great show tonight. Had a good time talking to Prism. Looking forward to going to that event. Had a good time bringing back movies that don't suck.
That was fun.
Looking forward to the other stuff we have going on this Halloween season.
Everybody, please, you have plenty of time to send in your list for the top horror movies of all time. You can do a 5 or a 10.
I kind of like standing up.
You do it well. The guy sitting in a chair.
I might start doing the podcast standing up.
You get to be more animated. I see that. I noticed that.
I'm a fidgety person. I don't sit still. Yeah. So this.
But the chair don't squeak when you do it standing up.
I know. We were doing an interview earlier, and every time I would move, that chair would be like.
Chair farts.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's That's episode 80, right there.
Episode 80.
Right there is episode 80.
You do realize we're 20 away from 100.
That's what 20 plus 80 does. I don't know, though. I mean, after October, we'll probably take a couple weeks off like we normally do.
Yeah. And by a couple of weeks, we're going to hope it's not January when we come back.
It wasn't that long last time, was it?
Yes.
We went from October to January without a show?
Yeah.
Huh.
We might have done a filler show here and there, but we took a break.
I'll have to go look. I don't think it was that long.
Yeah, we took a break.
It don't seem like it was that long. But when we take breaks, they're really breaks.
Yeah, we don't look at each other or talk to each other. No, I'm kidding.
We really come back.
Yeah.
Like a lot of podcasts say we're taking a break.
And they die.
And they die.
Yeah.
It's like that wasn't a break.
Yeah. We're not going to be those guys.
Yeah, we're taking a break, not a vacation.
Thank you to everybody who is listening to this. You guys are awesome. All over, everywhere in the universe. Like aliens are listening to this in outer space.
I didn't know Halloween was inspired by Psycho.
I had heard that, but I don't see the ties.
I don't either. Well, he didn't have mommy issues, he had sister issues.
Yeah. He killed one and then tried to kill the other one for years.
Still trying to. They're making another one.
Oh, yeah, they got the new one coming out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that she's coming back for. That I thought she died in the last one that she was in.
It's fiction. It's a horror movie. It's like a horror movie is like a comic book. You can kill somebody, put them in a blender, and pour their remains at sea and let them wash away.
What if Jamie Lee Curtis is? What if Jamie Lee Curtis is Jason? What if Jamie Lee Curtis comes back?
You mean Michael Myers?
No, Jason.
Oh, if she comes back as Jason.
Yeah, what if she comes back? But, I mean, because she's dead.
Jason Lee Curtis.
Jason Lee Curtis. I like it.
Jamie Lee Jason.
Don't like that one as much.
I don't know, man. They said at one time that they were trying to put together a follow-up to Jason versus Freddy. It was going to be Jason versus Freddy versus Ash. And
they've done fan films online.
Sam Raimi pulled out of the discussions because he wanted to do this, the TV show.
Yeah.
Evil Dead. He wanted to use Ash for that instead of
a
film at that time. Plus, I really liked the Evil Dead franchise. And I feel like Jason and Freddy are such big icons. There's no way to resolve that without, like, Ash getting killed.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want to see that.
Right. Now, you know, to me,
it needs to be a tie.
To me, it would be
great.
Sort
of like the ending of the Jason versus Freddy. Like, you think Jason won, but then Freddy winks.
Right.
To let you know that it's a tie.
But, well, you know, to me, it's like, I've seen some fan Photoshop stuff online before, and you've seen the Freddy versus Jason face-to-face, nose-to-nose thing, but I've seen one somebody did with Jason and Michael Myers. They both wear masks. I mean, of course, we know what Jason looks like under his. Freddy looks like a burnt potato. But to see that iconic
more
thing
like a tater
right there,
tot after it's dipped in ketchup.
Yeah, not wrong.
Coming this October, Freddy Krueger tater tots.
But to see Jason versus Michael Myers, because, I mean, you know me, I'm a Michael Myers fan. I'm a huge Michael Myers fan. I'm a huge Jason fan. Freddy is probably my least favorite. Mine would be Michael Myers, Jason, and Leatherface.
It'd be hard for me to pick a favorite because I like them all for different reasons. They're their own thing. To me, it's like comparing. Yeah, it just doesn't. I can't pick a favorite. I'll say this. I like Chucky. I like Child's Play, the movie.
Yeah.
Even some of the sequels. But he's probably my least favorite of those
icons. Oh, absolutely.
Icons.
You know, and not because it's a doll.
Not saying I don't like him.
It's,
I'm just saying I don't like him as much as Jason,
right.
Freddy, Michael.
Now, see, that's the thing about it for me is, like, you know, the listeners know I don't like dolls. But I can watch Child's Play and be fine because
he wasn't really a doll for long.
No, no.
He kind of became just a little person.
Yeah, he was an animatronic toddler. But like Annabelle, her mouth don't move. She has that blank expression and her eyes are staring a hole through your soul. That kind of stuff is what creeps me out. But Chucky, no. I'm okay with Chucky. But it was just weird.
There's another thing that can be said about, and it's a fine line, when you start making your iconic horror movie people funny, it takes away from their intimidation.
Yep.
And I saw that happen with Freddy Krueger. The first Nightmare on Elm Street, he was terrifying, and second, he was scary. Well, then he starts slipping in little jokes, which I was fine with. I like Freddy Krueger's little sense of humor. It's funny.
Yeah.
But it got to a point later on to where it's almost like it took away from him being scary because he was funny.
Yeah.
And I think that happened with Chucky.
That happened with Chucky after the first one.
Like
the
he started
second
being
one.
Being funny and...
No, he was a smart ass.
It's hard to be both. It's hard to be funny and scary.
Yeah.
I can't be scared of you if you're making me laugh.
Right.
And it's not a nervous laugh either.
I'm not knocking the movies by any means, but I just...
No, and like I said, I like the fact that Freddy has humor. I just... It's a very fine line.
Yeah.
You know?
But to me, like, I mean, even Jason, I love Jason, but out of all of them, to me, Leatherface or Michael Myers are the most believable to me. You could either be possessed by something or be that crazy to where they shoot you and you don't die. You don't feel
the
pain.
Yeah, for the longest time, they made Michael Myers, you know, deaths, like the end of movie death.
Yeah.
They made them believable. Like, one time he just got shot.
Yeah.
and
you thought that was it.
People survived being shot. You know, yeah. That's believable. They never like dipped him in acid or something and he came back.
Right, exactly. Episode 80.
Are we still recording?
Yeah, I think so. Oh,
we're just having a conversation now. Y'all can listen if you want to.
Yeah, you don't have to pay
attention. We're just going to talk about horror movies. We'll play the thing in a minute.
Oh, the big beautiful bean footage.
No, the little thing at the end where we always play. Dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. Are we going to do it that way again like you did?
No.
That was amazing. Okay, no, we're not going to do that. All right. We are going to sign off. Again, thank you, everybody, for listening in. And
oh, I'm glad I thought about this. A couple more people have gone on iTunes and left us a 5-star rating and review. I want to thank them for that because that really helps us out. It's one weird thing about podcasts is it's really hard to tell how good you're doing. I mean, I see our ratings and I know how many downloads roughly we get per show, but like to the public and to potential sponsors and stuff like that, it's hard for them to tell if you're worth their time.
Yeah.
And one of the big things they go by is your iTunes status.
Ratings, yeah.
And if you got like one rating, well, they just think that, well, this show ain't got no listeners.
Right.
And we're not going to mess with them. So, everybody, I guess, far as I know, that's the most helpful thing you can do for the show is go give us a 5-star rating and review.
Yeah, go tickle that 5-star rating button.
Yeah, girl. Y'all have a good one. We'll see you back here shortly.